We come this evening to Numbers chapter 4. Numbers chapter 4. And as we've been going through this book of Numbers, we've seen that the Hebrew name for this book was actually In the Wilderness. And when we think about it in those terms, as we think about where God has us in life and this world, in a place where we are on the way to the land that the Lord has promised to us, we see that the Lord is teaching us important lessons. And in these early chapters of the book of Numbers, really this first section through chapter 10, from chapter 1 through chapter 10, we see God laying the groundwork and giving his people the rules whereby they were prepared to travel. And so we'll see that continued this evening in Numbers chapter 4. We're going to read the 49 verses of Numbers 4. And but before we do that, I know that we have some of the children who like to count words, either from the scripture reading or in the sermon in general. And I'm going to give you a few words for you to count tonight during this reading. Okay, so first of all, try to keep track of how many times the word service or serve is used. Serve or service. Secondly, the word tabernacle. And then thirdly, you can, if you want, also number up the number of components of the tabernacle that are listed as well. That one will be a little bit trickier to do, and you won't be able to probably keep track of which ones are mentioned unique times, because some will be repeated. So serve, tabernacle, and then the various components. Numbers chapter 4, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "Take a census of the sons of Kohath from among the children of Levi, by their families, by their father's house, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, all who enter the service to do the work in the tabernacle of meeting. This is the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of meeting, relating to the most holy things. When the camp prepares to journey, Aaron and his sons shall come, and they shall take down the covering veil and cover the ark of the testimony with it. Then they shall put on it a covering of badger skins and spread over that a cloth entirely of blue, and they shall insert its poles. On the table of showbread they shall spread a blue cloth and put on it the dishes, the pans, the bowls, and the pitchers for pouring, and the showbread shall be on it. They shall spread over them a scarlet cloth and cover the same with a covering of badger skins, and they shall insert its poles. And they shall take a blue cloth and cover the lampstand of the light with its lamps, its wick trimmers, its trays, and all its oil vessels with which they service it. Then they shall put it with all its utensils and a covering of badger skins and put it on a carrying beam. Over the golden altar they shall spread a blue cloth and cover it with a covering of badger skins, and they shall insert its poles. Then they shall take all the utensils of service with which they minister in the sanctuary, put them in a blue cloth, cover them with a covering of badger skins, and put them on a carrying beam. Also they shall take away the ashes from the altar and spread a purple cloth over it. They shall put on it all its implements with which they minister there, the fire pans, the forks, the shovels, the basins, and all the utensils of the altar, and they shall spread on it a covering of badger skins and insert its poles. And when Aaron and his sons have finished covering the sanctuary and all the furnishings of the sanctuary, when the camp is set to go, then the sons of Kohath shall come to carry them, but they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. These are the things in the tabernacle of meeting which the sons of Kohath are to carry. The appointed duty of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, is the oil for the light, the sweet incense, the daily grain offering, the anointing oil, the oversight of all the tabernacle, of all that is in it, with the sanctuary and its furnishings. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "Do not cut off the tribe of the families of the Kohathites from among the Levites. But do this in regard to them, that they may live and not die when they approach the most holy things. Aaron and his sons shall go in and appoint each of them to his service and his task. but they shall not go in to watch while the holy things are being covered, lest they die. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also take a census of the sons of Gershon, by their father's house, by their families, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old. You shall number them, all who enter to perform the service, to do the work in the tabernacle of meeting. This is the service of the families of the Gershonites in serving and carrying. They shall carry the curtains of the tabernacle and the tabernacle of meeting with its covering, the covering of badger skins that is on it, the screen for the door of the tabernacle of meeting, the screen for the door of the gate of the court, the hangings of the court, which are around the tabernacle and altar, and their cords, all the furnishings for their service, and all that is made for these things, so they shall serve. Aaron and his sons shall assign all the service of the sons of the Gershonites, all their tasks and all their service, and you shall appoint to them all their tasks as their duty. This is the service of the families of the sons of Gershon in the tabernacle of meeting, and their duties shall be under the authority of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. As for the sons of Merari, you shall number them by their families and by their father's house. From 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, you shall number them, everyone who enters the service to do the work of the tabernacle of meeting. And this is what they must carry as all their service for the tabernacle of meeting. The boards of the tabernacle, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, and the pillars around the court with their sockets, pegs, and cords, with all their furnishings and all their service, and you shall assign to each man by name the items he must carry. This is the service of the families of the sons of Merari as all their service for the tabernacle of meeting under the authority of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. And Moses and Aaron and the leaders of the congregation numbered the sons of the Kohathites by their families and by their father's house from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, everyone who entered the service for work in the tabernacle of meeting. And those who were numbered by their families were 2,750. These were the ones who were numbered of the families of the Kohathites, all who might serve in the tabernacle of meeting, whom Moses and Aaron numbered according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And those who were numbered of the sons of Gershon, by their families and by their father's house, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, everyone who entered the service for work in the tabernacle of meeting, those who were numbered by their families, by their father's house, were 2,630. These are the ones who were numbered of the families of the sons of Gershon, of all who might serve in the tabernacle of meeting, whom Moses and Aaron numbered according to the commandment of the Lord. Those of the families of the sons of Merari who were numbered by their families, by their father's house, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, everyone who entered the service for work in the tabernacle of meeting, those who were numbered by their families were 3,200. These are the ones who were numbered of the families of the sons of Merari, whom Moses and Aaron numbered according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. All who were numbered of the Levites, whom Moses, Aaron, and the leaders of Israel numbered by their families and by their father's houses, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, everyone who came to do the work of service and the work of bearing burdens in the tabernacle of meeting, those who were numbered were 8,580. According to the commandment of the Lord, they were numbered by the hand of Moses, each according to his service, according to his task. Thus they were numbered by him as the Lord commanded Moses. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts and lives and give us understanding of it that we might appropriately live it out. Well, I'm curious, did anyone have more than, let's say, 15 times of the word serve or service? Anyone have more than 15? All right, I've got a few. I've got a few bidders. How about more than 20? More than 20, okay. More than 30? Okay, more than 25. More than 25. How about 25 exactly? My Bible software said there were 25 exactly, so that's my count at least that we're going with. Good. All right. So you guys got most of them at least, if not maybe one or two extra. All right. Good job. All right. How about tabernacle? How many times did we have the word tabernacle? Anyone more than 15 there? Yep, more than 15. That's right. more than 25? Ooh. The software gave me 20, but you might have had other components in there that you were counting. And I did not number up all the different components, so you all can tell me later on if anybody has a count of all the different components. There are many that are listed there. And obviously, that tells us something about this passage as we come to it, doesn't it? This is a passage about God appointing men for service, and particularly the service of carrying the components of the tabernacle, of which there were many. And of course, each of these components, we could go back into the book of Exodus, into the original design for the tabernacle, and see that each of these components was there at the command of the Lord by the design of God for his worship. And now these three families of the tribe of Levi are entrusted with carrying these different components. And so they serve the people of God by carrying the components of the tabernacle as they go. And you don't have to believe me necessarily right now, but where I hope that we will get to tonight, and what I can demonstrate to you, is that you and I are called to serve by carrying with you the holy and accessible presence of God. That we serve the world around us, we serve one another, and that we serve the Lord as we carry with us through the course of life as God's people the holy and the accessible presence of God. And so we'll see that first of all as that comes out in the life of the Levites. Then I hope to convince you that that was part of the life and the ministry and the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, that as those who are being conformed to the image of Christ, that we too are carrying in our bodies. And in fact, I'll give you a clue right now. Pastor Wise made me a little nervous this morning when he went to 2 Corinthians and took my passage for tonight. And I thought, what is he going to do? And will I have anything left to say? And he did leave me what I need to be able to talk about this evening. And even if he didn't, too bad, it's where we need to go. So anyway, we'll talk about the Levites, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then about our service as well. But first of all, as we do this, as we reflect on the Levites, reflect on what they were charged to carry. They were to carry these components of the tabernacle. And the tabernacle, of course, was given to communicate to the people of God the holiness and the accessibility of God. Right? I hope I don't have to convince you or twist your arm to agree that the tabernacle was given to communicate the holiness of God. Right at the very center of the tabernacle, of course, was that cubic room, 10 cubits by 10 cubits by 10 cubits, that was called, of course, the Holy of Holies. And even the very architecture of the tabernacle, with its one entrance that must be then in order to get to the holy place and to go through the holy place into the Holy of Holies, required passing by and participating in the sacrificial ministry, of course, in its very essence, taught the people that God is holy and that your sin has separated you from the holy God, that your sin has hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. And so architecturally, the tabernacle, of course, communicated holiness to the people of God. But of course, the Lord also gives the tabernacle to communicate to Israel his accessibility, his nearness to them. I'm not a God who is far off and distant from you, a God who is unwilling to hear you, but instead, by placing his tent right in the middle of the camp, by giving them a sacrificial system whereby they might come into his presence, he invited them and reminded them that, of course, his covenant promise, his great covenant promise, I will be your God and you will be my people, so that the tabernacle communicated to the Israelites that this God is our God. And our God, unlike Allah, say, our God desires fellowship with us. He cares about us and wants to commune with us. So that's in the general design of the tabernacle, but also even in the passage before us, we see the holiness of God accentuated along with this accessibility in terms of the holiness. You heard a number of times that even the Levites, even these people who were allowed to participate in coming near, still had to use poles. There still were these carrying boards that had poles through them that different utensils were laid out on. And they were not to look at these things. They were not to touch them. And that, of course, is because, as verses 18 through 20 point out, there was danger involved. Do not cut off the tribe of the families of the Kohathites from among the Levites. God is instructing the priests, be careful. Lives are on the line here, and if you, the house of Aaron, is not careful in doing as I've told you to do, in covering up the ark in the way I tell you to do, and getting the poles inserted and ready for carrying, people are going to die, and it'll be on your conscience. You'll be the ones who are responsible for cutting them off. God is saying, even in appointing these Levites, I will be treated as holy. And yet also, of course, by designing a tent for himself, God is communicating, I am going to continue and be near to you even as you travel to the promised land. And this tent, of course, travels along with them and is set up night after night and taken down night after night, or morning after morning when they would journey on. And so the tabernacle is given to communicate the holiness and the accessibility of God. And the Levites, of course, serve by carrying this picture of the accessibility to the holy God. And you can write that down. Remember, we're going to talk first about the Levites. So they are carrying with them and on their persons this, and with these poles, the accessibility to the holy God. Now, these Levites were entrusted with carrying and moving the most precious possession of Israel, the glory of the nation. And you might think about times when either you have moved or helped someone else move. Recently helped a couple guys who are on their way to seminary load up their trucks. And of course, I'm talking about John and Joe. One of the great things about moving seminarians one of the bad things, I'll tell you this first, is they tend to own a lot of books. So that's a negative. The positive is, guys who are headed off to seminary are generally pretty young and don't have many really valuable possessions. Okay? But when you do move someone who's maybe a little bit older and has certain antiques and certain valuables, you know that those are items that are treated more carefully, that you, in moving those things, deal with in a special way. And of course, that's reflected here in chapter 4. God is saying the most precious thing that the nation of Israel owns is the tabernacle. God did not give detailed instructions about how the individual Israelite, when they got up in the morning, was to fold up their tent, how they were to pack up their cooking utensils, their items that needed, you know, how do you keep the dirty clothes separate from the clean clothes in your suitcase and separate from the, you know, the shoes that you're packing as well, right? God didn't give specific instructions about that. But much like you and I would do, if we are moving from one house to another and there are certain very precious possessions, God gives very specific directions about those precious things. And what do we see God doing? Well, God prescribes specific people who are to move this precious possession. That comes out in the very beginning and very end of the text. God says, take a census of the sons of Kohath. Verse 22, take a census of the sons of Gershon. Verse 29, we've also got the numbering of the sons of Merari. And then at the end of the text, the numbering of all of these specific people. Now, why did God do this? Well, for a number of reasons. If you're getting ready to move, let's say, the heavy hutch in your move, and it's got antique glass on the doors and things like that, you want to make sure there are enough people that it can be transported safely. Right, it's one thing if somebody's carrying the old recliner, if you've got just a couple guys on there, and one of them loses their grip and it kind of falls. But when we come to the antiques, we want to have more hands on them and make sure that they are not going to be damaged in some way. So by having specific people, God ensures that there are enough movers. He also ensures by calling these movers to be between 30 and 50 years old, that there would be a certain both strength and vigor, but also a certain maturity in these movers as well. He wants these movers to be responsible. And so just as you and I might do, if we were moving an antique, we might look at the movers who have shown up at our house and say, you know what, I think that 17-year-old boy is stronger than that 35-year-old man, but I'm not sure I'm ready for the 17-year-old boy to carry the $6 million painting, if any of us own something of the sort, right? So God plans for strength and mature responsibility in taking this census. Also, by prescribing specific people with specific tasks, God is setting up a system of accountability. How often have we had maybe a list of things that we want to get done, and by virtue of not assigning particular people to particular tasks, we come to the end of the day and realize that, oh, some of the lists didn't get done. Well, it can't be that way with the tabernacle. Each of these items that's listed is there by the appointment, by the command of God. And so God says, I want specific people so that there's specific accountability and responsibility so that everything that's taken down at the beginning of the day is there at the end of the day when the tabernacle is set up once again. So the Levites serve by carrying the accessibility of the holy God. And they are appointed as specific people. You won't be surprised either if you think about what's involved in moving that which is precious and sacred, if you recognize and reflect on the fact that there would be a specific plan. How are we going to get this job done? And what we have here in chapter 4 is a repeatable, organized plan where God has broken this plan down into specific clans, specific people, specific equipment, so that the job gets done right. As we saw last week, even there's a specific ordering, right? And it's reflected this week as well, right? The tent and all of its components have to be taken apart in a specific way. So there's specific people, a specific plan. And then thirdly, we can say that there are specific protections put in place as well. God gives them particular equipment, these poles, so that the regular Levites are not touching the holy implements of worship. Along with that, God provides coverings. And you might think of those moving blankets that come. Well, they didn't have just any moving blanket. God shows the value and the worth, right, the dignity of these items for worship by the coverings with badger skins and the coverings with blue and with purple, right, that go over them. God is showing, even in the moving blankets that are used to move my valuables, I want to communicate about how precious this tabernacle really is. So God gives these covers, yes, and they would protect against things like dust, but even more importantly, the covers served to block the view, particularly of things like the Ark of the Covenant and the components that were within within the holy place, that they were not to look on these items. And God is communicating to them, of course, even in this, that this is a dangerous business. These things that they're moving are not only valuable, like we might talk about a painting or an antique, they're not only valuable, but they also are dangerous in a way that we might think more about needing to move nuclear waste or something like that. And you would want to have very special equipment and have a lot of training, right? If somebody said, hey, I'm looking for a couple volunteers, I've got some nuclear waste to move tomorrow at my house, I don't think we'd have anyone in the congregation just signing up, right? Well, sure, I'll be there at 8 a.m. to help you out. No, we'd say, I'm going to need some training before I can do that. You better hire some help on that. Well, God here calls these specific people with a specific plan and gives them specific protections because what he is calling them to do is, in fact, dangerous. And what he's calling them to do is to move this tabernacle and to move it in service to him and to the nation. I want to say just a word in this regard as we think about this being a service that God called them to, about the genre of literature that we have here. This is, of course, illegal. It's God giving law. It's in the context of a census as well. But we might say that the information that's communicated in Numbers 4 might, in modern terms, better be communicated. It would more naturally be communicated to us in an Excel spreadsheet, right? And we might say, what is this really doing in the Scripture? It's not the most compelling chapter that I've ever seen in the Bible. And in response to that, brothers and sisters, I would say, I think part of that is at least God, by design, reminding us and teaching us that the ministry of service is not a ministry of being flashy. There are not a lot of best-selling biographies of servants, or you're not going to get the newspaper tomorrow morning and walk out and find out that the big 4-inch headline across the top is, man serves his family by doing the dishes. Right? Now, some of you are smirking because you say, I don't think that happened, so that'd be faulty reporting. Service is not something that is flashy. And even the text itself communicates to us that the reality of service is that service is often and usually, ordinarily, quite ordinary. It's quite mundane. And yet service is done not to get glory, not to get credit, not to make the headlines, but service is done to dignify others, to bless others, to be a help and a service to others. And so we see that the Levites, in their service, are a blessing to the people and to God. That God calls them to this ministry so that his holiness is magnified and preserved and communicated, but also so that his nearness to the people is taught and visibly illustrated night by night. And the Levites serve God by communicating his nearness and his holiness to the people. They also serve the rest of the nation. They serve the rest of the nation, and that no one else is authorized to do this work. How are we going to keep God near to us? How are we going to have God right in the middle of our camp? Well, thank God that he's given us Levites who can do this work of caring on our behalf. And so the Levites serve by carrying the accessibility to the holy God. That brings us to consider the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can see in very close parallel, and it doesn't take a lot of magic to see where this would go, that Jesus serves by making the holy God accessible. Jesus serves by making the holy God accessible to you and to me. Now think about for a moment the service that Jesus performs. Jesus, in his life, but then particularly in his death, serves us by bringing us near to God, but not in a way that in any way, shape, or form sacrifices the holiness of God. In Psalm 85, we sing about, or we read about, that together met are truth and grace, justice and grace, while righteousness and peace embrace. Well, where does that take place? Where is God's justice on display, his holiness, his separation from wickedness, but also his ministry of mercy and grace? It's at the cross. And the Lord Jesus Christ comes and tabernacles among us in order that, first of all, we could say in his person, even as he goes through life, he carries with him the holiness of God, the perfect righteousness of God, along with the grace of God, in caring enough to send his son into the world that we might have life, that we might have forgiveness through him. But of course, that tabernacling among us was not enough. Just having the presence of God on earth does not reconcile you and me to God. It doesn't bring us into the presence of God. And so then Jesus, of course, goes to the cross. We can ask the question, how can a holy God have contact, have friendship, even bring into his family sinners like you and me? We could say, to put it in the context of our text, how can a holy God allow unholy people to have access to him? And of course, the answer to that is through the work of the Lord Jesus. And so perfect is his work, of course, so completed is his work, that then he can promise us, I am with you always. That wherever you camp, wherever you are, that I will be near to you. And so as we reflect on the person of Christ, answer for yourself this question: has Jesus served you by making a holy God accessible to you? And if he has not served you in that way, then you need to know that he is willing and able and desires to serve you in that way. He came into this world in order that we might, through him, have a relationship with the holy God. He came into this world not so that God could change his standard of holiness, not so that God could say, you know what, I don't care about holiness anymore, but rather so that we would meet that standard of holiness and be able to be in the presence of God. Jesus has served you by making the holy God accessible. But there's an important parallel that I have not mentioned yet. And that is, I told you earlier that the Levites served the nation of Israel by what they're doing in Numbers chapter 4. But who else did they serve? They served God, didn't they? God was the one who had called them to this task. God was the one who had designed and given them the tabernacle. God was the one who wanted this picture in the middle of his people every night, every day, right there, front and center. And it's actually a great comfort to us that Jesus not only serves us, but arguably it's even a greater comfort to us that when the scripture describes Christ as the servant in places like Isaiah 52:13, he's actually called what? My servant. That God calls Jesus my servant. And that when you couple references like that to Jesus being the servant of God with passages like John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, we realize that actually Jesus' primary work of obedience, while we benefit, while we surely are blessed, and while we surely must rejoice and say, amen, you are our tabernacle, you are the point of contact for us with a holy God. Isn't it comforting, though, that actually that point of contact for you and for me with the holy God is at the initiation of a loving Heavenly Father who said, I want to be accessible to you. I, in my holiness, still want you able to come near to me. You have separated yourself from me through your sin, but I'm going to send my servant, and he will serve me. He will do what I command in order that you might be reconciled to me. Now, we don't have time to do it tonight, but you can actually go through the life of Christ and see that it was this fact that he was my servant, the Father's servant, that caused some tensions for him at times, right? Because there were all sorts of people who, once they figured out that he had miraculous powers and that he was a skilled teacher, hey, we could use a guy like you in our nation about now. We've got some plans and projects for you. We'll tell you what to do with your skillful teaching. You can take on some certain issues that we have in mind for you to address. You can use your miraculous powers in this, this, and this way. And of course, Jesus was having none of it. Why? Because he knew whose service he was really in. All right, so we have this parallel then, don't we? And it's a great parallel. We have the Levites who serve by carrying with them accessibility to the holy God. And Jesus comes, and in his own person, he serves by making the holy God accessible to us. And this brings us lastly then to our service, that you serve by carrying in your person the reality that God is both holy and accessible. That you and I are called to serve by carrying in our person both the holiness and the accessibility of God. That in this way, that God, through the ministry of the Levites, has pictured a part of an aspect, an important aspect of what it means to be a New Testament Christian. That God, through the ministry of Christ, who is of course the one who we are being conformed into his likeness, has pictured for us this ministry and this work of service that we are to do. And I'll read now from 2 Corinthians 4, 6 through 12. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. You see that parallel? Think back to those Levites. And what Paul's describing here is, he says, I'm worn out day after day. We're worn out. We're carrying around a burden. And it's a burden that is really intended to minister to you. We're dying little by little so that you can know and experience the glory, the light of God. And think back to the Levites. Every day we carry these heavy things and we take them and it wears us out. But we do this not for our glory, but so the nation might know God, so that the nation might fellowship with God. And God is calling you and me not to carry about with us components of a tabernacle, physical components, but he's filled us with the Holy Spirit. He's given us the mind of Christ in order that as we go through life, we might communicate to people, there is a holy God in heaven. But you can access him. I have access to him. And I would invite you to know also how to have access to him as well. You can think of this in terms of the ministry of prayer. When people around you are struggling with various things. What am I going to do? I have an overwhelming circumstance in my life. I have an overwhelming circumstance in my family. I don't know what to do about it. Well, you know one of the important things to do about it, don't you? And you have the privilege and the opportunity of inviting that person to connect to the Holy God through the access point of the Lord Jesus Christ that you know about. And so you can say to them, Well, we can talk to the one living and true God, and he will hear us, and he will hear this prayer because he's provided access through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we carry that with us as we go through life. Paul says elsewhere, of course, that we are ambassadors of Christ. We have a foot, as it were, in both camps. I'm here representing a holy God, a God who is majestic, a God who is other than this world. And yet, because I'm here as an ambassador, I can speak to you about him. Now we can go back to Numbers chapter 4, and we can say, well, wait, as we carry this presence of God with us, this accessibility to the holy God with us, Numbers 4 seems to indicate that God is dangerous. Is he still dangerous today? And let me put that back to you then in a form of a question. Does God's holiness still make demands on you and me today as image bearers, as those who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit? Yes, it does. Yes, God's holiness is dangerous. It makes demands on us. There's a certain danger to living near to God. But by grace, he's near, and we are blessed. And so God here in Numbers 4 is reminding all of us of one of the important reasons why we are here. Israel was in the wilderness. It would have been easy. No doubt there were days that the Levites even woke up and said, why are we here? What are we doing? And yet God had called them to serve by carrying with them as they marched through the wilderness this promise of and this picture of accessibility to a holy God. Why did Jesus come to earth? Was it really necessary? Did it make sense? He gave up a lot of stuff. He came into this wilderness in order to provide accessibility to a holy God. And I hope that at times in your life, there are times that you really struggle with the question, why are we here? Look, we're trusting in Christ. We know what our heavenly destiny is. What are we doing here? What's the point? Just take me up to glory, Lord. And I would submit to you, if you don't sometimes have that path, that desire, that concern, you're not longing for heaven enough. But what's God's answer to us about why he hasn't already taken us to glory? And so that we might be here reminding the world that through Christ you can have access to a holy God. And it's not always flashy. Might not be the most exciting and my most exciting role. But remember that the role of a servant is not a role that says, hey, everybody, put the spotlight on me. Everybody, pay attention to what I'm doing. The role of the servant is to say, there's light, there's glory, there's blessing. And that blessing is available through, in this case, a holy God. And so be reconciled to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless us as we travel through the wilderness, and may He enable us by His grace, even in the midst of this wilderness, to serve Him and to serve our neighbor by pointing to this great truth of a holy God who's accessible to us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the calling that you placed on the Levites, for their willingness to serve you, for your drafting them into service, and for the things that you were illustrating and foreshadowing in their service. Lord, as much as we would thank you for the service of the Levites, though, we thank you multiple times more, hundreds of times more, for the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the one who carried in his body and bore in his body our sins in order to lead us to you, in order that we might have peace with you. And we thank you that Christ, through his ministry, accomplished for us a far greater access to you than what the tabernacle and the ministry of the Levites could ever accomplish. And so we praise you, Jesus Christ. We praise you once again as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And we thank you for being our Levite who has brought to us accessibility to the Holy God. And then, Lord, our hearts long to and we desire to be more and more like Christ. And so we pray that you would equip us, that you would build us up and follow in the example of Christ, the command of Christ, to be ambassadors and to be those who would serve our neighbor, who would serve those around us by connecting a lost people to you, a holy God. Thank you that you've provided this access through Christ. Help us to be faithful to use this access and to proclaim this access in the world in which we live. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.